Good morning. How we feeling? Well, much love, Fairhaven. It's good to be with you. Thrilled to be with you, and yet it's always a little bittersweet to leave my Walker folk. So I love being with them, and we have a blast up there. And there are a small handful of you that may have made your way up and came, and you've come up and hung out with us in Walker. Thanks, whether you're serving or just coming and hanging out, which means there is a whole lot more of you who have yet to come and visit your kid. And we would love to have you come up and hang out with us. I think it's important. It's good. It'd be beautiful. And I guarantee you, you will not leave the same. It's a good time. So we are going to be in the letter of 2 Corinthians this morning. So however you want to get there, however it is that you get there, we're going to do some walking through that in just a couple minutes. And I need to know that you're with me because we're going to be moving and grooving. Are you with me? Come on. We get after it, Walker. I mean, it is a full contact Sunday morning that we do. And we want to make sure that people are fully hydrated and it's okay. We have made room for people to wear spandex if they really feel they have to. It's appropriate. With that image, I would love to pray, dear heavens. Huh? All right, if you would join me in prayer, and then we'll dig in and let the text sing to us this morning. Father God, you are good. And it is so good to gather here as your body, the church. God, what a gift that you have awakened us this morning. You nudged us and gave us one more day. And to gather as your body, the church, here this morning, what a gift. We desire more than anything to hear from you. So, Father God, I pray, as the psalmist had said, that the posture and meditation of my heart, God, and the words of my mouth only bring honor and glory to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Savior. And may all of us experience your love and truth and mercy and leave here renewed to be your kids in fresh new ways. We love you, God, and we bless you for this time, and we pray it in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be jumping in, and it's a Mission Sunday, so although Palm Sunday, we don't get to talk as much about kind of the historical Palm Sunday, but I would love to talk about what it means for us to be a biblically aging people. I want to talk what it means to grow old biblically. Sounds exciting, does it not? Come on. I love it. Okay, so as we do this, I want to throw up on the screen first this guy. His name is Katsusuke Yanagisawa. Katsusuke Yanagisawa, good Dutch man. Uh-huh. So Katsusuke is a retired Japanese school teacher, and at the age of 71, he became the oldest person to successfully conquer and climb Mount Everest, which raises the question for you and I: what mountain are you planning to climb when you're 71 years old? Yes. All right, this next person on screen is Al Newharth. In 2013, he died at the age of 89. He's the founder of the USA Today newspaper, very successful journalist and business person. And at 89 years old, within the year of his death, he gave this fantastic interview that I read, and he talked about the fact that 89, he had two naturally born children who were 59 and 58 years old when he died. Then he had six adopted children: Alexis, 22 years old, Karina, who was 16, twins Andre and Ariana, who were 15, and twins Allie and Rafi, who were 13. Eight kids, five of which, when he's 89 years old, are teenagers. Come on. Which raises the question for each one of us: when you're 89 years old, is that when you're going to be at the top of your parenting game? Yes. But listen to what Al said within the year of his death. He said this, and I think it's so stunning. He said, "How lucky can a father be? For nearly 60 years, I've had children to help plan for educationally, financially, and professionally. No father could ask for a more important role." Yes. This last person, this is the great American painter Georgia O'Keeffe. She died at the age of 98 years old. Her friends and family say, leading up to weeks of her death, she was doing some of her most beautiful, best, and compelling artwork ever at 98 years old. Which raises the question for you and I, what masterpiece are we planning on creating when we're 98 years old? This is important because for a lot of us, when you think of your life, you think this explosion of youth and I'll be successful and do things when I'm young and youthful. But then what happens is, well, I get older and then it's country time lemonade sitting on my rocker on the front porch and I'm popping Tums to dislodge the hamburger helper stuck in my chest. Is this the view that we have of life? What I would love to do this morning is listen to a biblical view of aging. And so a gentleman, one of the first Christians, a man named Paul, is writing to these churches in which he started to encourage them and call on them to be the church. And in the midst of this letter, we're going to be in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. He is talking about, well, the Spirit of God doing a work in him and kind of his team of people. And it's leading up to this scripture, which he bookends. He starts the same and kind of ends the same with the same language. And he talks about their suffering in this ministry by pouring themselves out. What happens in this suffering? So we'll begin with verse 1 of chapter 4, and it says this: "Therefore, in light of this Spirit being poured into us in this ministry we have," it says, "since through God's mercy we have this ministry," that's this life, "we do not lose heart." Circle it, write it down. Lose heart. We do not lose heart. Key phrase, he's going to come to this. It's an important phrase here. This ministry, which is this life, is a gift. It's grace. And it's through God's mercy that we have it. And reflecting on this, then, this beautiful thing, we do not lose heart. Then we keep going. In verse 8, it says this: "Well, this ministry that we're doing, well, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Next slide. "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Although it's hard, it's difficult, we pour ourselves out, we feel a little roughed up, you..." Well, this is a gift for you in this. Then verses 15 and 16, it says this: "All this that we pour out is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." And it's this crescendo in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day by day." This word renewed, write it down because it's a big one. Now, this "do not lose heart," the word, the phrase here, "lose heart," is in the Greek written, the original language here, it is kakaz. Go ahead and say kakaz. Yeah, you don't make that stuff up. That's fantastic, is it not? Kakaz. So here's what Paul is saying. Because of God's ever-unfolding grace, there is no kaka here. Ah! Listen, God's grace just keeps coming. No kaka here, then. No kaka here, man, because grace just keeps on coming. Come on. Yes. Now, the Message version, Eugene Peterson, the Message version, says verse 16 so well. It says, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. Anybody feel that this morning? Right? It feels like things are falling apart on us. We wake up and you go, man, I have a pain and I didn't even know I had that body part. And it hurts. It is this, some things feel like it's falling apart, but on the inside, where God is making new life, renewed life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. Now this word renewed is two Greek words put together, anakainao. Go ahead and say anakainao. Now the two words are ana means again, and kainos is the word. Kainos, anakainos, it's anakainao, but anakainos means to make new again. Again and new, to make new again, to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. This is happening day by day. God's grace is making this new life again and again and again. Now, when you dig into the text, though, and you understand the language, for the word new, which we say in English, there are actually two Greek words that mean two very different things of new. There's new that is neos, and so new and neos means recently born, young, youthful. Time, age, there's young, there's that kind of new. And then there's kainos, the word Paul uses here, kainos, which means new especially in freshness, in relation to the redemptive activity of God. This kind of new is what Paul is talking about, and it's a whole different kind of new that isn't time-driven. And I would say and submit to you that our culture is both saturated and infatuated with a neos view of new. What's the newest tech trend? What's the newest fad? Because, you know, it's here and it's new, or it's like, well, that's like 2015. Like, that's old. Right? And so that kind of neos old, we would understand like a milk carton, right? The milk jug is got an expiration date. They singe that thing on there, and then you pull it out in the morning and you look at it and you're like, that's today. What do I do? Apparently you take the lid off and you smell it, and it's supposed to smell. Is it okay to drink? And you drink it, and then you sit there and you wait to see if you're going to explode. Is it expired or not? The date says it is. I don't know. That's neos. Like, well, that's old, or is it new? We need to know this. But Paul's talking something very different. Culture is too often looking for newness in terms of time, which leads then to a large group of people either checking out or being sent away because they're no longer neos, correct? You hear, ew, they're old. Or you have seasoned people saying things like this, and I hear it too much. Well, I've put in my time. And that's their reason for stepping away, for leaving, for checking out. Well, I've put in my time, so I'm not over here anymore. Are you with me now? This distorted view of new often leads to the expectation that we will either check old people into, or old people will check themselves into, that's right, Florida. Right? Is this what happens? You get older, and apparently if you're in the Midwest, well, it's time to eject to Florida, to dissolve into the sand of Florida. I'm going away. I put in my time. Now it's time to ride around on the golf court in the white shoes. But here's the thing. Well, that is ridiculous. Paradoxically speaking, this seasoned, experienced person has put in their time and so typically has the most uninhibited time, the most wisdom, and quite often the most resources, and you're going away? What? No. Now, nothing against Florida. Just went on vacation there. Wonderful for vacation. But it's when we check out and go away. No, we need you more than ever. Because you are oozing with wisdom, no matter what they say about you. The scriptures speak of this person who understands the grace and mercy of this one life that we have and the newness that is constantly taking place. The psalmist says it this way in 92:14 of Psalm. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Kainos. There is a vibrancy about them because God is making new life in them day after day after day. And they keep on kicking out that good fruit. As the modern day lyrical poet Ed Sheeran says, he says, well, your soul can never grow old. It's evergreen. Who wants an evergreen soul? I do. Come on now, Ed. Yes, because some things can be new as a neos and yet feel really old. Have you ever seen something? They go, oh yeah, this brand new song. And you go, that sounds old and stale to me. And yet some things can be old and yet feel kainos, brand new and fresh. Correct? Here's how I would say it. December 4, 1956, this took place. This transcendent moment in music history took place. This is Jerry Lee Lewis on the left, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, and some guy at the piano named Elvis Presley. And in 1956, they, on this December 4, ended up in Sun Records recording studio together, not because it was designed, but they just ended up on there that day together. And then they started riffing and playing and jamming together, and Colonel Tom hits record because he knows, he feels, ooh, something's going on here that's way bigger than this moment. And at the moment, not a big deal. These young guys got together and jammed. Now, years later, this is known as the Million Dollar Quartet. And they just crafted this incredible musical based on this. It's Broadway musical. My wife surprised me. We went to Chicago. We got tickets to that. Saw this thing, and it was humming with life and beauty. And I'm like, this is just fantastic. But it's really old. And yet it was brand new and fresh and beautiful. Why? Because there is a relevance that transcends the superficial. An authority that only comes from experience. Years of living, and this gives birth to wisdom. If you're here and you're thinking to yourself, hey, look here, bald pastor guy, I've put in my time and I'm done with that. I want to say to you, yes, you've put in your time, and that's exactly why we need you. That is not your out, that is your in. Because you've put in your time, please don't leave, because I believe, biblically speaking, you're just getting started. You've been married for how long? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Oh, well, we could really have you, we need you to pull up a chair. Because there are some people thinking about getting married. There are others that are married a year, 2 years, and they're struggling. And what they need more than ever is for you to share a little bit of your journey with them. And it would do wonders. Wait. You've raised how many kids? And they're functioning adults today? Well done there. Could you please go to lunch with me? Because I have 3 sons, 10, 7, and 4 years old, that are my kids. They came from this insanity. And I could use some of that parental wisdom that you are just bubbling in. Wait a minute. You know how to read and write? Whew. You know how many kids just outside these doors have they could just use someone to sit with them, maybe for an hour a week, and read and write with them, and it would change everything. We need you more than ever. That would be brilliant if you would check in. We need the wisdom and experience and perspective of what is known as the village elder, right? I need this more than ever. But rather than just talk about it, what I would love to do is introduce you to some friends and who I call them heroes of mine. They're not a big fan of that, but they're heroes of mine. I love these people for their lives. And so if you would do me a favor and welcome my friends Bruce and Barbara Zalata up to the stage. Now, some of you might be sitting out there and you go, I think I know these people. I've seen them before. You may have. Bruce and Barb are a part of, and that's probably not the best words, they are a thriving part of the heartbeat of Walker Harbor Church. But Bruce and Barb, this Fairhaven was your church, your community for about how long?
We moved to Jenison, I think, in 1977 and started going to Fairhaven Church in 78. So that's 40 years since.
40 years. That this was their church. This is it. Like, this is our people. Yeah. And then here's the thing. About 2 years ago, a pastor's on stage and said, here's the deal. We're feeling called, compelled to start a church in Walker. And maybe you're sitting out there and you're feeling like you need to go do this. Bruce is sitting out there. Barb is in the kids serving as she does so well. Bruce is sitting out there and he is in the process of retiring from work. He's retiring. So what should be floating, right? Culturally, our culture would say, you know, he's thinking golfing and vacation. And instead, he feels this tug and what this calling, maybe? Do you feel a tug in your heart to do what, Bruce?
Yeah, I just wanted to make myself available. And this seemed like when Aaron was up here and was talking about a new church, I thought, well, this is something that I could really go help with. And so I said, I'm here and I'll help.
I'm here and I'll help. God says, anybody want to come be a part of it? Bruce is like, sure, I got time. He didn't say, I'm old. But now I put in my time, so I'm not doing that. Hey, Bruce, how many churches have you started?
That would be zero,
just so you know. Not trained for that, engineer, right? Yeah. So going and doing this brand new adventure, and he says, yeah. Now, Barb's in kids' ministry. Get to the car, and Bruce is like, I feel like we should go and help start this new church. And Barb's like, you've lost your mind! No! Well, or did she not say that? Barb, what was your response to that?
I said, giddy up.
Giddy up! Come on! That's fantastic. Right there. Write that down. Giddy up. Whew. And if you know Barb, like, she's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, ask God, is that what you want? Yep. Not 5 years. Not, well, it's take forever. Not, okay. God seems to be calling us, summing us. It seems good to God. Then we best step out into that. And Bruce and Barb are crucial, critical to the life that is Walker Harbor Church. When I asked them to be here this morning, the first thing Bruce is like, I got stuff to do at Walker. Like, I'm get after it there. We make things happen. But okay. Us baldies got to stick together. So we do. And it's fantastic. And they sit. And they are part of the church. And I need them. Love them. And they are such a crucial part. Peace, branch, that is this church. Now, there's that, and I got another friend and another kind of hero, and his name is Avery Smith. Would you welcome him up? Avery, how are you doing, pal?
Good, you?
Good. Good to have you here. This is Avery. Avery is 17. He is a senior at Kenowa Hills High School, which is in Walker. And so he is there, and you're a part of a ministry there doing what?
I'm part of Young Life and Wildlife, which is middle school Young Life.
Yes. So Young Life, this high school ministry that he gets involved with, beautiful. Then they say, we want to start this middle school expression, but we need some help leading it. Guess who is on the forefront of leading it? Avery is. And he's sharing the good news of Christ to middle schoolers as a senior in high school. And Avery's getting ready to graduate, and you're going to go where?
The plan is to go to Calvin College.
The plan is to go to Calvin College. Now, you've got all kinds of family that have been to Calvin College. It's like old hat, right?
No.
No, not at all. Not at all. Why are you going to Calvin?
I just feel like I'm being called to study vocational ministry and just keep branching out with Young Life and Wildlife.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. I feel like God's calling me to vocational ministry and calling me to do this. And Avery's a part of Walker Harbor, and he is a gift. And it is such grace to have him be a part of it. And why? What's beautiful, on Sunday morning you might come and you'll see Avery with standing alongside of learning from Bruce and setting up this mobile church in a gym, and Bruce is teaching and guiding, and Avery is learning and lifting and moving, and they're being the church together in so many ways. And that is a gift. We need more than ever for the generations to be knit together. We need all of this to be the church. The Barbs and Bruces and Averys to be together. Which raises the question, what might happen if youth, young people, came to the table ready to learn, willing to listen and honor those who have come before them? And what if the experienced people came with a smile, cheering on the passion and love and energy of the youth? Not cutting them down, criticizing them, but cheering them on and thrilled that they want more. What would that look like? It might look like this. And it might be a gift to our community and beyond. And then the church would be more complete. Because, as the text says, God wants to renew us day by day by day in the place that matters most, our very soul. We need to reclaim in our day a kainos view of life. We need the generations knit together and then sent on mission together. So can I tell you about my favorite day in ministry? My favorite day in ministry is on the way. My favorite day in ministry is when I get to say Avery Smith is the pastor of this dynamic church in Walker, Michigan. And I can't wait for that day. Not because I'm going away, I'm not going anywhere. But because I need all of it, and he's coming, and I want to be able to go, you help lead this church. And you know why it works? Here's why I love it, and I feel so passionate about it. Come on over here. Bruce, can you shift over here? And sit here. This is why it's a beautiful thing, and I can't wait for it to happen, because Avery will be sitting between Bruce and Barb, and they'll be the church together. Come on. And that is a gift. And that's what we need more than ever. Come on. Is there anybody here who, in getting older, you've gotten old? You had the idealism kind of kicked out of you. You're bitter. You're cynical. You only have stories of getting kicked around, or you think how it should have been and it wasn't. And so you're crusty. And maybe you need to raise your hand and just say, God, I need you to do that kainos thing that you apparently love to do, and create new life in me day after day after day, and renew me because I believe, you believe, God, that I'm just getting started. And maybe you're out there and you're under 40. And you're thinking, I want a chance. Our kids, our youth are saying, I want to be in the game. I want to put in my time. That they would seek out and find the experience. And the experience would say, let's grab lunch. Come to my house for dinner. Because together we are the church. And we should be what the culture looks to when they see unity. When we speak of unity and they go, oh, that seems kind of like a foreign concept. They should go, yet we see this stunning thing take place in the church. Where all generations are knit together, holding hands, sitting with one another and saying, what will you have for us today, God? Giddy up. What will you have for us today, God? You might be thinking about retiring from a vocation, but you are biblically speaking only retiring for a ministry that is your life, that is happening day after day after day. Are you with me? Talk to my wife about me and the word retirement. Ha! The thing I will retire from is receiving emails that are complaining about the snacks and kids ministry. Great, fine, retire from that weirdo thing, done. But will I retire from waking up in the morning, say God gifts me another day, and getting up and sharing and showing the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere, for as long as I possibly can, never retiring from that, no way, no how. Yeah. And here's the thing, and I can honestly say this, I'm in my 40s, I feel way younger than I did when I was in my 20s, please. Because I have folks in my life who pour in, offer wisdom and experience, and I try and take every little bit that I can. And then I try and take that and spring up and say, what can we do together? I need you more than ever. Because there's a lot of churches that need to be planted. And they're waiting for you. Maybe you've been here for 40 years. And it's time for you to go, not to leave, but to begin, to start anew, fresh. This is what it is about. I believe, as it's written, that God wants to make new life in each and every one of you day by day by day by day, and that new possibilities are waiting for us. Would you pray with me? Please. Father God, today is a gift. Right now is a gift, and I bless you for that, God. And I bless you for inviting us into this life, giving us this life, and then asking of us to live it to the full. And Jesus said, that's why you came in and through him, is to offer us, every one of us, life to the full. Not later after death, but life before death. That just keeps going on and on and on and on. That's why we celebrate resurrection. So God, if there is someone here this morning that is exhausted, hurt, struggling, frustrated, and feeling like an end is near, God, may you breathe into them. Place your healing hands on them. Your grace breathed through them. Kainos, new. Renew them from the inside out. Heal them. Pick them up. May their heart hear you now. Say you're just getting started. You are good, God. And you give us that. You gift us that. not because we deserve it, because you are a great, great Father. And you love to renew us and put us back together. And God, if there is someone out there who feels like they are dreaming inside of you, they have gifts and passions from you, and they want nothing more than to step into that, but feel like they, well, I haven't put in my time. God, may you surround them with people, and may you invite them to what you have called them to. May their voice be heard here. May others pick up on that and say, we're with you. Do what God's called you to do. We're with you. God, I pray that you spring up out of this room on this day, in this moment, you spring up churches. You send out that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven and go to the ends of the earth. That, God, that would be good and would bless you for that. Give you all the glory and honor for that. We pray all this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.